He's gonna, the number today is a little bit less than yesterday, if that's encouraging. Kumlana Black Gemara, Mitzvah Shabbos Kedesh Parsha Pinchas. We are up to Dav Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. So this is how we start our Malava Malka, by learning. Okay, we are up to here. The Mishnah talks about if you're allowed to remove a number of boxes. We said you're allowed to remove 4 or 5 boxes of straw and other grains if you need it for a mitzvah, even though it involves a bother, and that is for guests or for learning Torah, to have places, seats for people to sit and learn. And we had a machlekes of chizna shmo. According to chizna, it's 4 in a warehouse that has only 5, and 5 is the maximum, no matter how large the warehouse is, because of the tircha. And Shmuel says there is no maximum. People just say 4 or 5, but it doesn't matter how many. So we're up to the Gemara. It says over here, and the reason why according to Shmuel you're not allowed to clear out a warehouse is because you might find some holes in the ground, and then you'll try to level it out. So up to the Gemara here, about 7 lines from the top. Tanu Rabbanan. The Rabbanan learned Tavua Tzibura, if you have a pile of grains piled up. And if you pile it up, it's clear that you want to put it away for storage, which makes it muktzah. Bizman shehitz chabar meder Shabbos, if you started taking food from there before Shabbos began, mutali his topic meder Shabbos, you can take from there on Shabbos and feed it to your animal. Bimla, but if not, usserli his topic meder Shabbos, it's forbidden to Shabbos, because why? Because it's muktzah. Divrei Rav Shimon, which is odd, because Rav Shimon, we learned last time, is always the one who says, there's no such muktzah. Remember, according to Rav Shimon, everything is all right unless he clearly had a mind not to use it on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says everything is not all right unless he clearly had a mind to use it on Shabbos. Yet the author here is Rav Shimon, we'll soon see. And Rav Acha matir. Rav Acha permits it. Says he might have which direction are you going? It doesn't make sense. Aleima divi the other way around. You're right. Divi Rav Acha. He's the one who asks it. Rav Shimon is matir. Tanami learn kamashir tivua tzibura. What's considered a pile? Losach. The size of a losach, which is 15 so. And this is what we learned last time, that 5 boxes, and Tosfos says that each box is 3 so, equals to Yerushalmi, because the maximum you can carry is 15 so, divided amongst 5 boxes, 5 kupas is 3 so per box. Boy, or if it's 4 boxes, it'll be 4, almost 4 so per box. Boy, the same question, how much is it? We say, the size of 15 saw. Now this only is compatible with Rav Chisda who puts a cap. According to Shmuel, there's no cap. Then there's no cap. You can take out as many as you want, as long as you leave something there. Iboilu, we have a question. Hani arba v'chamesh kupas. This question, again, is according to Rav Chisda who believes there's a cap. It says in the Mishnah, 4 or 5 boxes, the kamar. Ba'arba v'chamesh kupas in tfeiloi. The Mishnah says the cap, the maximum is 5 boxes, or 4 in a small area, but 5 boxes. 4 from 5 boxes maximum. Alma limuti bilukhad. Now, a box is quite large. Remember, each box can contain 3 so, that's a large amount. So the Mishnah, is the Mishnah's emphasis, we don't want you to walk back and forth so much, because that's what concerns us, the tirch of walking. Alma lemuti bihluchadif, primary concern is how many times you're walking around with these boxes. Ideal lemuti masa adif, or if you could take these 15 saw and divide it in 15 boxes, that would be even better. Even though it's 15 trips, but each one is much lighter. What's the most important thing here? Our biggest concern, like uvdin lechol, is it the weight or is it the walking? Tashma coming here, we have 2 braises. The ton lechol, 1 braise says mefanin afilah bechamish kupis. You have to move 4 or 5 boxes, like our Mishnah says. Shokadi shemen with barrels of oil, veshokadi yain filled with barrels of wine. Sounds like the maximum is 4 or 5 trips. And you have a Tanil, another braise, be'esed uvechamish esay. 10 or 15, what's going on here? Is it 10 trips, 15 trips, or 5? My labba hokamit is the argument. My sava, the first one holds me to be luchadiv. I don't care, the boxes can be large, 3 saw a box, but I want you to walk as little as possible, so 5 is the maximum. The other one holds me'uta b'masa adif. The most important thing is the weight. So if you want to divide the 15 saw into 15 boxes, fine. Into 10 boxes, fine. Because you're carrying less, as long as the maximum is a losach. Kuli alma, everyone might agree, miyuta b'lucha adif, if you have a choice, and your preferred choice is to walk less times. Umi sovra, who told you that be'esa v'chamesh esa kupas kai? Who told you that 10 or 15 are talking about how many trips? That you're taking the 15 so and dividing 15 boxes. Akadin kai, talks about jugs. They're talking about smaller jugs. We don't want you to carry more than five boxes. If you have very large jugs and each jug fills one box, then it's five jugs. If it's medium-sized jugs, so two fill a box, then it's 10 jugs, but five trips. And if it's very small jugs and three in a box, then it's 15 jugs. You can only fit one in a box. That's five. And here's talking about the mid-size, which two fit in a box, that's 10. And here's talking about three in a box, which makes it 15. We're talking about boxes, we're talking about jugs coming out of the place called Harfanya, which are small jugs, and therefore three can fit into a box. We have another question. These four or five cartons that you're saying, again, this entire Gemara is according to Rav Chisda, who limits it. Are we talking about even though you have many guests? It's not pro rata. It's not like if you're individual, four or five, you have five guests, you can have more. Even though the Mishnah said, maybe it's one or two guests, but if you have more guests, you're allowed to, because it's commensurate to how many guests you have. Or maybe it is commensurate. Question is this five an absolute maximum, or just this is just a proportional? And if you have more guests, you need more, you're allowed to take more boxes. And question number one. Question number two is, if you want to tell me that it does depend on how many guests you have, Chad Gavram Mefani Lekulos, as one person, they have to do all of it, or you should encourage each person to take a few, so one person doesn't have to do all that walking and carrying. So, Toshma, come in here. First part will answer. Rabbi said, name Rabbi Chiya, Pamachas once holach, Rabbi Lamokam Echa. Rabbi went somewhere, he saw that it was very aimed, it was very tight. For the students were to sit, the Yotzel Lassad, he went out in the field, and he found a field full of bundles of hay. The Imer Rabbi called outside the cooler, Rabbi removed all the bundles. Why? So they should sit. So he took a lot of, so there's a lot more than five there. And he didn't remove them all, that it's because it's commensurate to the number of guests you have, or those who want to learn. And another story similar. Once he went somewhere, he learned from his Rebbe. He saw that was very tight. He went out to the field. He found a similar thing, full of bundles. He cleaned out the whole field. It's clear from here, it's all commensurate. So it's proportion. Even though we say five, but if you need more, because I'm more guests, you're allowed to. But my second question still remains. Chad gavra mefana lekula, can one person remove the whole thing? Maybe you should have the guests involved. People should roll up the sleeves and help carry it. Tashma come in here. It says, Rebbe removed it. You think Rebbe did it all on his own? Elot tziva v'imen. He must have commanded some of his talmidim they should help out. You can have every person taking their own, encourage every person to take their own. Okay, it says in the Mishnah, two mitzvahs you're allowed to do for. One was learning and not learning, students to have where to sit. Another one is orchin guest. Very interesting. In Shulchan Aruch it says, in Simon Shin Lama Gimel, if I remember correctly, Shulchan Aruch it says that all of these dinim that we talk about, Achnosas Orchim on Shabbos, is not talking about friends. It's talking about people who had nowhere else to eat. And because of you, they have somewhere to eat. That's real Hachnos Zorchim. Inviting friends is not Hachnos Zorchim. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. But what's fascinating is the base of Engel brings in Gionya Hashas, he brings that in the Maril. The Maril was like the main Ashkenazi that we all follow, about 700 years ago. And in the back, he has dinim. And there he writes exactly the opposite. He says, if you bring poor people to your house on Shabbos, it's a beautiful thing, but what does it have to do with Hachnos Orchim? He said, that's Dukkah. Hachnos Orchim is Dafke being people who don't need to eat in your house. They have plenty of food of their own. But by coming to your house, you bring in camaraderie and Avos Yisrael and so on. That is true Hachnos Orchim. Very interesting. And interesting is that Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring this opinion down when the Maril, if you look at Shulchan Aruch, he is always the founder of all of our Minhagim of Ashkenaz. Don't know why. But interesting thought. Anyway, how great is Hachnos Orchim? The mitzvah of Hachnos Orchim is equal to learning, and not stop learning, we're working first thing in the morning, because the two cases of the Mishnah is Bittul Beis HaMedrash. The Ketani B'nei Orchim, the guest, Umitnei Bittul Beis HaMedrash. So you see that they're both equal. You're more so, and the Hodder Mifnei Bittul Beis HaMedrash, because he's working his way up. First he tells you for guests, and surely for stopping till, first he mentions guests, which means the first thing is the greater mitzvah, and then he mentions Bittul Beis HaMedrash, which means Orch is even greater than Bittul Beis HaMedrash. That's the first mitzvah he mentions.
Omer Rav Yudah Rav, the famous saying, G'doy lahachnosas orchim, greater than hakabosh, even greater than visiting, than seeing Hashem. The Chassid says, Avraham Avinu, when he saw the three malachim, he's not aware that malachim, he thought they were just people looking somewhere to eat. Vayim, and he says it to Hashem. We had a machlekes the Gemara, when he says Hashem, does he mean to the head of the malachim, he's talking to the Eibishter. So this Gemara follows that he's talking to Hashem himself. Im no, matzazi cheimenech, I'm not sabbat. Do me a favor, please don't leave. I want to talk to, invite these guests. You hang around. Omer Abelazar, Bor, hey, come and see. Shaloike, midas HaKadosh Baruch, midas Basavadam. The Eibishter is different than a human. Midas Basavadam ain't cotton, yochlem, legot. You can't tell an older person, someone senior to you, hamten, atchiyavas, lecha, why don't you just hang around there and wait for me? Ve'ilu HaKadosh Baruch, ksiv, ayyem Hashem, he said, Eibishter, im no matzazi. Meir Shapiro was traveling the world to raise money for his first yeshiva, and he came to America and to raise money in 1933 or 34 for his yeshiva Chachmei Lublin, which was a rare phenomenon, you know, the dormitory and everything else. So when he came to America, he once went to a very rich man's house, and he was told that this guy, you know, is a rich man. So he went to the house and he knocked on the door, and there was a big sun, you know, there was a sunroom in the front and a big window, and he can see from the window that the Balabas looked out. He was this guy dressed up like a Polish Yid who came straight from Poland, and he saw the guy jump behind the couch, Moshe something to his son. The door opened up and the son said, I'm sorry, but my father is not home. So Meir Shapiro says, tell your father that he just answered a Gemara that I never understood. The Gemara says that G'day l'hachnosas orchim yoyisim mekabol neshchina, that it's even greater than receiving, because he said, Hashem, wait, I want to get the guest, I want to welcome the guest. So he asked, how do you see is greater? Maybe they're equal. Both mitzvahs are equal, so he can choose whichever mitzvah he wants, and he chose Achnos Zorchim. Doesn't mean it's greater. So he says, now I understand. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Eibishter by the Snev the very first time, it says he covered his face. But your father, when he saw me, the mitzvah Achnos Zorchim, he covered his entire body behind the couch. So obviously, the mitzvah Achnos Zorchim is even greater than Kabbalat Pnei Shechina. Chassidus already asks a very fundamental question. How can you learn Hachnosas Orchim from the story of the Malachim? The fact is the Malachim didn't eat. They only feigned as if they ate. How can we learn a Halacha from a fact that never happened? Taitas Emes. Everything about it has to be true. The truth is Avraham Avinu did not fulfill the Mitzvah Hachnosas Orchim because they didn't eat. So how can we learn such an important message? Hachnosas Orchim is greater when there was no Hachnosas Orchim that took place. And the Chassidus explains that after Matan Torah, that we have the ability to not only to do mitzvahs, but we actually have an outcome as well. We can take something gashmias and transform it into ruchnias. We can take parchment and make it holy by writing a tefillah on it. So today, it's not just we're going through the motions of a mitzvah, but we actually have an outcome, that we are affecting the world around us. Prior to Matan Torah, they didn't have that ability. The ability was only that they went through the motions of mitzvahs, but they did not have the capacity to actually have an outcome, to transform. So before Matan Torah, as long as Avraham Avinu went through the motions of Hachnosas Orchim, it doesn't matter whether the outcome took place or not, whether the Malachim ate or not, because the focus of the mitzvahs then was the behavior of the Avos, what they did, because when they put on tefillin, the tefillin went holy, or nothing became holy. So therefore, it was Taket Torah's Emes at that time. Get back to the Gemara. It says the Gemara further. Omer Rav Yudah bar Shelah bar Asiya Meichen on Shisha Dvorim Tog Machnas Zorchim. But six things Adam Oichel Pei the same Olam Hazeh. You get the fruits of your work in this world. Vahakeren. But the principle Kayemes Lo Olam Haba. Most mitzvahs we say Schar Mitzvah Bahay Al Malaka. But nevertheless, this works. The Teisa brings the Gemara Kedushin where it says there it means that if you, let's say, Abish is judging you and you're half and half, then this mitzvah will tip the scale. And what are these six mitzvahs? This is what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Number one is Hachnosas Orchim. That's number one, which means that this is superior to all other mitzvahs. The way we just learned in our Mishnah, that the first mitzvah that's mentioned is superior. Ubikel Chayim is number two. Number three is the Iyan Tefillah. And we learned Iyan Tefillah, there's two kinds. The good one is when you're trying to understand Pirush HaMilos and the words and the Kavanah. Hashkamas Beis HaMedrash is learning Torah. V'Hamagadol. And following the what we said in Gemara before, Kamilat Achmas Orchim is the greatest, Bikul Chaylim is the next second. These are two mitzvahs bein Adon L'Chaveroi, and then davening, and then learning. And Vamagadul Banu Talmud Torah. Not only you're learning, but you're raising your kids that they also should be interested in learning Torah. And the last one is Vahadon L'Chaveroi L'Kavshchus, that you always judge people in a nice way, give them the benefit of the doubt. So, but it's not so. You're saying there's six, but not now. We learned in the Mishnah. Eilu dvarim she'adam oisa oisam ba'icha pedu ramazakim ramabav. Eilu ein. Kibra ve'ein. even though our in what we say in davening a little bit different. Kivul Aveim is number one. Gemil Chasadim is number two. Havoas Sholem Shemein Adon Chaveda to bring peace. And Talmud Toy, the Kinega Kulam. Sounds like Hani in Midechim are only these four. How could Rabbi Yechon come along and argue for Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Hani Nami, this is the gears that we have on top is Rashi's. Gemil Chabod and Shaycha, which only Gemil Chasadim. And others say, how do all fit into Gemil Chasadim? Now, like for example, Talmud Torah, how do they fit into Gemil Chasadim and all that? And the other one is Loshan Achrin, Hani Bahani Shaykh, that Rabbi Eichen is only defining the six. And Rashi explains how it works. The Rashi says that the mitzvah of Hachnos is Orchim and Bikur Chaylon, they both come under Gemil Chasadim. The Rambam writes here that it's only mitzvah the Rabbanah through Bikur Chaylon and all of those things. But when you do them, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of the Torah of Abbas Yisrael, or Gemil Chasadim. Ian Tfila, Rashi says an interesting thing, that Ian Tfila is part of Gmul Chasadim. And Rashi says here, like, Gmul Chasadim doesn't only mean to do with somebody else. Gmul Chasadim means to do with your own body, with your own self. Rashi says, it's very interesting, Rashi, I'll just say it inside, because top of the page, two lines in Rashi. The Ian Tfila, Hainu Bechlau, Gmul Chasadim, davening properly, besides everything else, is part of the mitzvah Gmul Chasadim. How so? The Chasiv, it says, Goymul Nafshay Ish Chesed. Somebody who does good for his own, he's worried about his soul as well, is a good person. So that's Gmul Chasadim. And in Hashkamas Beis HaMedrash, and Hashkamas Beis HaMedrash, waking up, Gidlbon and Talmud Torah, sorry, that's both Talmud Torah, and then judging your friend in a benefit, that's bringing Shalom into your life. And Kivra Vayim, we didn't talk about. It says Gmul further, tell him what we learned. If you judge your friend and give him the benefit of doubt, you yourself will also be judged in a proper way. And the Gemara bring a few stories to prove this. The story of the person, Shiyorad Megalila Elyon. Now, the very interesting story here. There's a person who came down from Galila Elyon. Shiyorad Megalila Venisket Eitz Balabai's Echad. He hired himself out to this Balabas, Bedorim in the south. Sholosh Shalim. He worked there consecutively 3 years. Edel Yom Kippurim came out of Kippur. Omer, he said, Lo, tell his chari, I'm going to go home. Be'elech v'ozan zishti. Ubonai. I'm going to go home and take care of my wife and my kids. Omer, he said to him, Ein li mois. I don't have any money. Omer, ten li payas. Give me fruits. Omer, ein li. Ten li kaka. Give me land. The owner said, Ein li. Ten li behema. Ein li. I don't have. Ten li kodim iksasas. Give me cushions and covers. Ein li. Hifshul Kalev Achidov, so this worker took his package, put it behind him, Vaholach Lebeise Bepachin Nefesh, he went home despondent. He 3 years of work and had nothing to show for it. Says the Gemara, La'achreg, but after Sukkot, Nokul Balabais Chodeb Yodei, he took with him all his wages, but then furthermore, V'imoy Masa Gimel Chamarim, plus another three loaded donkeys. Echot Shemaicha, one filled with food, V'echot Shemisha, one filled with drink, and V'echot Shemim, all kinds of sweets. And he went to this person's house. And after they ate and drank, and he invited him in, he gave him his wages. Let me ask you. Give me your wages. And I said, I don't have any. What did you suspect me of? You think I was a ganef? I thought to myself, says this employee, maybe something cheap came along your way. And true, once it comes the day to pay, you're not allowed to delay the payment, but here it happened before. You did this before the day the payment came along, and then came the day of payment, you just didn't have. So I gave you the benefit of the doubt. When you told me, ten li behema, give me an animal, I said, ain't li behema. I don't have any. What did you suspect me of? Amarti, the employee, said again, Shema muskeres b'yad achedi. Maybe you rented them out. You don't have them with you currently. And b'shosh amarti l'ten likar, give me land. Amarti l'ch ein likar, I don't have any. B'mecha shetani, you know I'm a very rich person. What do you think? Amarti, I thought, Shema muskeres b'yad achedi. Maybe you have partnerships with other people, and if at the moment you couldn't get a hold of the land. U'v'shosh amarti, I told you, when I said to you, ein li paydas. When I said I don't have any fruits, what did you suspect me then? Amarti, I thought, you didn't give Maisa yet, and you now give to an Amaris fruits that you didn't take Maisa from. So therefore, that's why you didn't give me. I don't have any linen and all that kind of stuff. I thought, and he Manchester, Shema Hegdish Kol Lechasa L'Shemayim. You donated everything to Eibishter. Omele Aveide Kachoyev. True, that's how it was. He died to Kol Lechasa. I decided to give away all my assets. Bishvil Hurkins Bini, because I was very upset with my son Hurkins. So Osag B'Toyde, he refused to learn Toyde. Ukrishabasi Eitzel Chaveide. I bedodim when I went to my friends afterwards in the south. Because I was coming down to you, and you're from the south. So I was going. I was in the south. So I went to my friends down in the south. He tiddly called the dorei. They were mataneder. But on you, kishem should antoni l'schus hamakom yadin oischol l'schus. The Eibusha should give you the benefit. Strange story. Look in the side of the Gion Hashas, which is Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva brings it on the side of the Gemara. I'll just read you what he says here. He says, in the Shultz Rabbi Choy, Parsha Shmois, in the Shultz Rabbi Choy, you're going, in Parsha Shmois, and sometimes the Gemara says, Rabbi Choy, Tosa says it's Shultz actually, because it was a base on a base. Isa Maisa by Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef. The story was about Rabbi Akiva, who was an employee, Umuskir Eitzel Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus, and his employer was Rabbi Elazar, and his son, Rabbi Elazar's son, was Hurkanus, who didn't really spend that much time in learning. If so, it's a very strange story, because Rabbi Akiva here already had a wife and children. And the Gemara in Nedarim tells the whole story of Rabbi Akiva, and Ksuvas Rabbi Akiva only got married and went straight to Yeshiva to learn, didn't have any kids yet. So, even though he married somebody else later. So, when did this happen? When he was really learning in Yeshiva, was he working 3 years to learn Hurkanus? And so it must be Rabbi Akiva then was still a young man. He wasn't yet, must have been, was married first, had some kids, and then when he married again. What happened there? Furthermore, Rabbi Akiva here had a very good character. But Rabbi Akiva writes in Psachim in Makkah Shinogu, when he was in Amma Oretz, he hated Tamid Chacham. He would have ripped him up like a fish. Rabbi Akiva worked with Tamid Chacham. How can Rabbi Akiva work for Tamid Chacham for 3 years and be such a nice person, such a good character, and yet say, I want to kill them? So when did this happen? A very difficult story to understand exactly what happened over here, and so on. And Rabbi Elazar, okay. Anyway, further Gemara. Tell him what I learned. Ma'ase b'chassid echad is a similar story with a chassid, and Rashi says a chassid is either, whenever it says chassid, Rashi says many times in Shas, is either Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. Shepot Ribachar Batisrael, they once rescued a young Jewish girl, and he was taking her home. Ulamolan, and he went to a hotel. Hishkiva Tachas Margalosov. He brought her to his room and made her sleep right by the floor of the bed. Lamoch, the following day, Yorad V'Tov, he went to the mikveh. And even though about Keri mikveh, we already stopped at that time, he was machmer. V'shonu L'Tamidiv, and he started to give a shir to his Tamidim. V'omolan, he said to students, V'shosh Ishkaftiyah Tachas Margalosov, B'mecha Shetani, when I took her into my room next to my bed, what do you guys think? Amana, they all said, Shema yesh bonu talmid she'enu bodok, Rebbe. Maybe you don't trust us with a young girl, so therefore you decide to take her to your room. Then he said to them, B'shar she'iranati tabalti. Then I went to the mikveh the following morning, because before you learn Torah, you know, whatever, you should go to the mikveh according to that, you know, gzeda, before Rabbi Yudim said he came along and said it stopped. B'mech ha'shadatani, you thought something happened? Amarnu, we said, Shema b'nei Torah chaderech, nothing to do with this event, but maybe because of the traveling, Ira keri l'rebbe, you had a keri, a discharge. Amar avedi kachoy, you're right. La'atzen kashem shidatun l'kav schus, just because you give benefit of doubt, is hamokum yodin eschem l'kav schus. So too, you should have the benefit of the doubt. Talmud we learned. Pamachas once hutzah dover echer l'tamin l'chamim. They once needed a matter, an important matter, to tamin l'chamim, eitzel matronisa achaz, was by this woman, an aristocrat, she called g'day l'reimim mitzuyin etzla. That she, many of the people liked her, or even worse, and many people came to her house. And she was on her own. Amra mi yelich, so who is going to go and talk to her? Amra b'shur, ani yelich, I will go. Cholat b'shur b'tamid, he went with his students. Kimish gila pesa b'esa, he came to her house. Cholat tfilin, renewed his tfilin, because in those days they used to wear tfilin all day. B'rochek arba amas, this is the four amas. V'nichnes, he entered. V'nol adel b'fneim, he closed the door behind him. Ach shiyotzi, he walked out. Yorad v'tovel, he went to the mikveh. Meaning that people could maybe suspect that he might have done an aveda with her, and he went to the mikveh. V'shtava v'shalei started to teach him tamid mashir. Amalam v'shoshe chalatzit tefillin. When I removed my tefillin, b'mecha shadatuni. What did you suspect me of? Amarnu. They all said we thought kesavar ebi la yichnasu divrei kedusha b'makom tumah. You don't want to bring into her house your tefillin. And then he said, "B'shoshana alti." When I closed the door behind me, "B'mechashatatuni." What did you think then? Amar nushem, but the Ramalchus yesh beinu lebinam. Maybe some secret state matters between you. You don't want anyone to hear. Then he said, "B'shoshiravati v'tavalti b'mechashatuni." When I went to the mikveh, what did you suspect me of? They said again, "Amarnu shema nitzet tzinoidem mepi abgadim." Maybe a spittle from her landed on your clothes, and they already made a gzeda that a woman's clothing, that a goy, her spit is like a zava and metame. But it didn't yet make the isra of yichud. Shorebi, Amar Mavoid, I swear, kachoye ba'atem you kishem shedantuni lizchus hamokum yodin eschachus ebishes judge you in a better way. Interesting three stories. It shows the importance of to be down the kav zchus. It's so easy. Some people always find the worst in others, and some people are always able to see the good in others. Says the Gemara, now back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah was talking about what you're allowed to move on Shabbos. Anything which is muksa, obviously not allowed to move. So the Mishnah tells us you're allowed to move, for example, truma, even though you're a Yisrael, because it's suitable for koinim. And demai, we said, even though with demai is when you buy food from an amoritz. Rabbanon, you should give maaser, so you cannot eat and give the maaser. Still, it's not mukti, you're allowed to move on a Shabbos. Or we said, which the Gemara will explain, if the Levi took maaser and he gave Trumas maaser, Levi, after he receives a 10% from you, first the procedure, the protocol is that first you give your 2% Truma to the Kohen, then you give the maaser to the Levi from the balance, and then the Levi has to give Truma in turn from that. It's called Trumas maaser. And let's say if the maaser edition, the Truma was taken, it's not mukti anymore. Which some of these are obvious, and more will explain. And the next case was Maisa Sheni or Hegdish that you redeemed. You're allowed to move them on Shabbos. Obviously, why not? And the last thing is we said this turmus, this legume, this kind of vegetable or lupine, some say, that if it's dry, not really, you can still give it because it's food for poor people or for goats. Okay, now the more will explain these cases. What's the Chiddush? Obviously, why shouldn't you be able to move it? It says Gemara. We're talking about a case. The man chved Yisrael, Yisrael has it, and he can't eat from it. So mal teima kiven the lechazi le'asuf v'din kamash v'lon kiven the chazi lekoyin shapadam. So lekoyin, it is all right. Since it's suitable for somebody, it's all right. Even though we had taste already, you talked about it in other showing. You know, we said before that if you have a material less than three, you know, if it's suitable for poor, so it's usable for poor, and for a rich person, it's mukta. So we don't automatically say if it's good for one, it's good for the other. There, intrinsically, it's not suitable for a rich person. Here, the food is really technically is food, and it's only a halacha that sits on it that says don't eat it. So as long as somebody can eat it, it's already mukta for everybody. The demai halachazalei. It's not suitable for you, it's mukta. Why shouldn't you? Just because it's good for a poor person. So the Gemara says, Kivan the Iboi Mafke Leil Chase. Since if you want, you can become a poor person in a second. You say that all my entire estate should be Hefker. The Havi on your poor person. The Chazilein is suitable. Is Hashtanami Chazile, it's also suitable. It's now we learned Machilin Asanim Demai, that you're permitted, a poor person is allowed to eat demai, because most Amoratzim give maisa. So therefore, if you be a poor person, you can make it a poor person straight away. Even though, why do you even have to say that? L'chayda, since there are poor people that can eat it, that's good enough, just like by Koyin. I guess we're going further, that even you yourself can eat it. Besaksamir demai. And also for the army, sometimes we say a goyish army, Rashi seems to stress that it has to be Yiddish army, is what? You're allowed to feed them demai. So therefore, it's not mukta. In fact, we had a machlekes. Talmud learned the brayse b'shamim ein machinas anin demai. You don't feed them demai. V'saksan demai or the army. Or b'saloim machinas anin demai. V'saksan demai. We do feed them demai, and we do feed the army demai. Now, if you remember, we discussed exactly a week ago, a big machlekes poskim if you can make hefker on Shabbos or not. It's clearly here that you can make hefker on Shabbos. Because we're talking about Shabbos, and it says since if you want, you can become poor right now, and you can make yourself poor. And therefore, it's suitable. So why, how can the Ramban in the beginning of Pesachim and other Shoinim say you cannot make Hefker and Shabbos, it's like a Kenyan? Maybe they learn Pshat here is, since you could have made yourself poor before Shabbos, therefore you yourself could have been Roh, even though right now it's not Roh, you could have done it before Shabbos. Maybe that's how they learn. But when we discussed it a week ago in the Kuf Chaf, when we discussed over there that if you have a fire and people come in and save you, save the food, if they're a chassid or Yad HaShemayim, they'll give you the food back, because even though it's hefker, and even though the fire happened on Shabbos, and it's hefker, so see clearly you can make hefker on Shabbos. And we said then How do we answer those people who hold you cannot make hefker? Because maybe it's not really hefker, maybe it's more yish. We're using the word hefker, but it's more like you're abandoning hope. The basis, and we said the basis of the machlek is if you're permitted to make hefker on Shabbos or not. So the kuf chof amal kuchov zayin amal seems to be saying that you could, is because how do we understand hefker? Is hefker that I'm taking it out of my it's no longer mine. So who does it belong to now? Nobody. Or I'm saying I'm giving it away to the whole world. So now it belongs to everybody. And whoever gets it first can keep it. But it belongs to the whole world. So if I'm giving away to the whole world, it's like a kinyan. And you're not allowed to do a sale or transactions on Shabbos. If all I'm doing is walking away from it, then you could do it. It's not a transaction. And I continue the Gemara. The Gemara says, "My sedition shenitl trumas, if he gave truma, if he gave truma, what's the issue? Loi, tzricha v'nida shehigdu b'shubo." We have the Gemara brachas there about who you can include in the mezuman. So, and the same discussion there. It's talking about shehigdila b'shubayim, that the levy came, and while it was still growing, he took it. So therefore, he missed the truma of the actual stalks. He got his maaser, and he gave his truma, but he missed the first truma. So we would have thought perhaps that it's muktzah. The notli man truma is maaser, but the notli man truma gedolah did not take the truma gedolah, the first truma. And so what? And Amar Aru Amish Lakish, Maisa edition, if you have Maisa, Sheikdim Shiro, and while Guru Potter, the Chiddush Mishnah is that you are Potter, that it's not Muktzah, because in this case you're exempt from giving the first Truma. The Truma Gdola. Shalem, how do I know? Because then Possig Bahari, Maisa Mimenu Truma Sashem. This is once it's by the Levi, you have to give Truma. What Truma do you have to give? You have to give Maisa Mena Maisa, Maisa Mena Maisa Matilach. All I say is that from the Levi, you get Maisa and give part of that to the Kohen. The lay truma gedoyle, the truma's meiser ben meiser. But I don't want you to give truma gedoyle from the meiser. So no, once you have it ready, it's fafam. I'm not a popular bayeh. If so, if you tell me if he took the tefuah first, there's no more truma anymore. So why dafka if it's growing in a stalk, even if it's piled up when you know there's a chiv of truma ready, and the levi took it, he doesn't, because since the levi doesn't have to give ordinary truma, only truma and a meiser. I want to give truma from everything that you have. So therefore, sometimes I have to decide which one. And why did I decide which one? So when it's piled up, you have a chiv truma deraisa. So the levi takes it, fafal, you have to give his truma. But while it's still growing, there's no chiv truma in the maisa. It's not piled up yet. It's not ready yet. There's no chiv of truma. If the levi grabs it, you don't have to give truma. Doesn't matter further. Maisa sheni, you redeemed. Pshut, if you redeemed it, you're allowed to eat it. It's not muktzah. Loi tzricha shenosan lekel. When you redeem your own hekdish or maisa sheni, you have to give a bit an extra amount. You got to give the keren plus another quarter. So he's talking about over here shenosan as a keren, but loi nosan chayin. Didn't give the chaimish, which really is a quarter, because we go to the bar. Well, Kamashlan then Chayin Makiv. The Chiddush over here is that even though you, as long as you paid the principal, even though you didn't give the extra amount that you had to give, it's considered redeemed, it's not muktzah. But termus hayavish, this dry termus, dafke yavish, dafke is dry. Avalach, but if it's moist, loy, no. Why? If it's moist, then it's muktzah. My time of why? It's not suitable for animals, not suitable for anybody. Kiva de mori le'ochle, because it's bitter, nobody eats it, not the animals, and nor will a person eat it. And therefore, these are all the cases, chiddushes, that are not muktzah you can. The next half of the mission was all the cases that were muktzah, because you didn't do something properly there, and therefore you couldn't move them on Shabbos, and we'll discuss them. We will discuss them tomorrow. Okay? Good luck, everybody.
8:15.